Ephesians 4. We got a good many, if you will, three different passages of Scripture this morning that we're going to start off with by way of introduction, our text, as if you want to say it that way, as our texts. And really the first two passages are going to be just to kind of lay the groundwork for what we're going to talk about. And the third one will actually be our text, if you will, this morning. We're going to do a lot of turning in your Bible this morning, so I'll go ahead and prepare you for that. We're going to look at a lot of scriptures, and we're going to start a series this morning, and I'll tell you what that is in a minute. But we're going to start a series of sermons, Lord willing, for the next several weeks. I don't know for how long, until the Lord tells us to stop, or I doubt till we get it all done, because there's countless of these that could be done in Scripture. But we're going to look at some of them. But Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse number 22, the Bible says, here, and there's so many that verses around these that we could read, but I'll just try to stick with the verses to make the point. It says in Ephesians 4:22 that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. Here we're told to put off the old man. Amen. Verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Amen. And we could read some other verses there that's good and that tie in as well. But hopefully there in verse 22 and 24 especially, you get the point, talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man. Now look with me at another verse of Scripture. Colossians chapter number 3. Ephesians, Philippians, and then there comes Colossians. So, ooh, goodness. Got the Bluetooth making noise. Let me turn that off. Amen. We was using that for the music this morning. We'll turn it back on later. But anyway, turn with me, if you will, to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians 3 and verse number 9. Colossians 3, 9. The Bible says, lie not one to another. Well, that's a mouthful right there. Amen. We shouldn't lie to each other. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. So that would be one of the deeds of the old man. Amen. Lying to each other. And we have a lot of that today, and I'll just leave it at that. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him, if you will. Let's read a few more. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against, what's that next word, church? Any. That's anybody. Even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Boy, that's a challenge right there in itself. Let's just be all honest this morning. It's a challenge. Say amen. Let's go on. Amen. It's to take and to forgive anybody that we have a quarrel with. Just like Christ is willing to forgive anybody, we should be forgiving as well. Notice verse 14. And above all these things, all the things we just talked about, above all these things, put on charity, another word for love, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Talking about love, put on charity. And verse 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. And there's a lot of good verses following that we could read as well. But we get the point again about the old man, the new man, putting on, putting off. Now turn with me to our text verse, if you will, where we'll be for a few minutes this morning. Romans 13. Romans 13. All three of these passages tie in together real well to lead into what we're going to talk about this morning and then for the next couple weeks, if you will. Romans 13 in verse number 10. Although there's lots of good verses around this. I want to read a lot more verses, but we'd just be reading verses the whole service and go home. I'd never get into the message. So you can read them later if you'd like to. But Romans 13 and verse 11, the Bible says, "And that knowing the time." Amen. Knowing the time. I don't know about you, but it's amazing to me. There's, you know, no matter where you go or who you're around or whatever, all human beings, to an extent, are concerned with time. Amen. How many times have you had in your life, and maybe even this past week possibly, you've had somebody look at you somewhere and say, "Hey, do you got the time? Do you know what time it is?" Amen. We've all been asked that many times before, haven't we? Do you know the time? Do you know what? Although I will say this, that it seems like to me, and I could be wrong, y'all can disagree with me, it's all right, it's not a big deal, but it seems like to me that used to be a question that was asked a lot more than today. When I was a little kid, that was a question that people asked all the time. "Hey, do you have the time? What time is it?" It's not asked as much anymore. You say, why? Because it used to be the only way that we had time if we had a clock on our wall, right? The only way that we had time is if you wore a watch, amen, and not everybody wears a watch, and not all places you go have a clock, amen? But nowadays, we all pretty much have, right, the time. All we got to do is take, for the most part, all of us in here, is look down at our phone and we can see right across the front what time it is. So that's a question that's not even, if we will, ask as much as what it used to. And by the way, there's a message in that if you think about it. People don't ask what time it is anymore. They just, you know, kind of take it for granted, if you will. But I'll move on from that this morning. But you think about here, the Bible said, "And that knowing the time." I believe we as believers and Christians, we ought to know the time and the days that we live in. Amen. We preached about that a few weeks ago, about the last days, the last times, the rapture, and all that. But he says you ought to know the time. That word time is different than the word time that you're getting ready to see that's used in the verse a little bit further along. This word time, it speaks of, if you will, a hour, or you might compare it to a minute in our time frame, if you will. An hour, a minute. In other words, know the hour, know the minute, the time frame that you live in. But notice the next part, that now, it is high time to awake out of sleep. That high time, that word time, is a little bit different, and it has the idea, by the word high being there with it, you can clearly tell that, right? In other words, that it's closer time period. In other words, it's a more imminent time period, that it's high time, not at just an hour, if you will, not just a minute, but we're down to the second. In other words, it's the high time, if you will, for us to awake out of sleep. That's not talking about getting out of bed in the mornings. Amen. That's talking about, if you will, not being aware of what's going on and taking place around us, if you will, of what's going on, being asleep in that way, if you will, a spiritual sleep, if you want to put it that way. It's time, high time, to wake out of our sleep, to get our head out of the sand, as we would say sometimes. For now, the Bible says, there's that word now used again for the second time in the verse, for now is our salvation, and I mark that word in this verse, nearer than when we believed. Now that word salvation there is not talking about being born again. It's not talking about the day that you prayed and asked the Lord to forgive you of your sins and come into your heart and save you. If that was what was said there, it really wouldn't make a whole lot of sense, to be honest, because what does the part say after that? Nearer than when what? We believed. In other words, I believe here what he's trying to talk about more is our deliverance. Amen. In other words, if you want to put it in a term that we use, our rapture. Amen. In other words, the Lord coming to get us out of here. Amen. Our salvation from this earth, if you will, our deliverance in going to heaven, if you will, is nearer than when we first believed. Salvation in the Bible, sometimes it means deliverance. Sometimes it's talking about a spiritual salvation, if you will, in being saved, forgiven of our sins, going to heaven. But this one's more leaning toward talking about that other type of deliverance, if you will. But notice verse 12. It continues on. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. That day of salvation, the time that we're talking about, it's at hand. Let us therefore cast off. With that in mind, what he's just talked about, therefore what we need to do is cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Notice that because of the time it is and the high time that it is and our salvation being nearer than when we first got saved, we need to take and, if you will, realize where we're at, and we need to therefore cast off, the Bible said, the works of darkness, and we need to put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in, somebody would say that next word. Right. Okay, I'll leave it there. Not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in, what's the next word? Strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The title of the message this morning, the series we're going to do, you probably got the idea of where we're going with this already, is simply put off but put on. Put off but put on. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for your words. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house this morning, dear Lord. And we thank you for us being able to gather together in a fellowship together. We thank you for the freedom that we do still have to be here doing what we're doing today. Dear Lord, help us not to take it for granted. Help us not to just waste the time away, to just do it because it's something we even just want to do. But help us really to do it out of a heart of love, a heart of a desire, dear Lord, to, yes, fellowship and be around your people and your house, but even greater, do it out of a desire, dear Lord, to worship you. And help us to truly worship you. Dear Lord, I pray that you would help us today as we look into your word. I pray your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts, dear Lord, about our lives. That you would examine our hearts, as the psalmist said, see if there be any wicked way in me, O Lord. I pray today that you would help us, dear Lord, if there's some things in our lives that we've put on. Dear Lord, I pray today that you'd help us, these things that we've put on that we shouldn't, that you'd help us to put them off. That you'd help us, dear Lord, to come to you today and take these things off, lay them on the altar, give them to you, and to walk away putting on in its place what you would have us to put on. Help us today, I pray now, to do what only you can do. Encourage us, strengthen us, remind us, convict us. Where we need that, I pray. Just do only what you can do through your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Put off, but put on. I think about everybody in here today. Let me look around. Yeah, everybody in here today, amen. We all did something similar this morning. Amen. At least I think you did. Okay? If you didn't, and you know, that's your own business, but you did, you're a little different. Amen. But you say, what do you mean? We all took and did something this morning. We took and got up out of bed. Amen. And I very seriously doubt, and if you did, it's fine. It's between you and yourself and spouse or whoever lives with you, or yourself if it's just you. But I doubt anybody in here took and slept in the clothes they're in this morning. I don't think Dad slept in a tie last night. I'm pretty safe, I think. I know, Brother Brent, you didn't sleep with that tie on last night. Amen. In his dress clothes. Brother Donald, I'm sure he didn't sleep like he is. Amen. Did none of us, if you will, take and get up out of bed this morning and just say, you know what, it's time to go to church. Maybe comb our hair, spray a little cologne. Out the door we went. Amen. Perfume for you ladies. Amen. Out the door we went. We didn't do that. Instead, what we did at some point or another, maybe you do it first thing, maybe you do it last thing, but at some point you took and did what? Put off. Amen. At some point, you took and you put off your PJs. Amen. You put off those jammers. Amen, as some people call them. Whatever it is that you sleep in when bedtime comes. You put those things off, and what did you do? you put some things on. Amen. Exactly what you're wearing this morning. I guarantee you that after church today, when every one of y'all get back home to your place where you live, you're going to do what? You're going to put off probably those clothes, and you're going to take and do what? Put on something more comfortable. Amen. You may take and sit at home. Some of y'all may. If you do, amen, praise God, that's fine. I don't. I don't take and go home and sit in my chair on Sunday with my tie and suit jacket on and just wait for 6 o'clock to come or 5:30 till we come back to church again. Amen. I go home, I get comfortable. Amen. And probably most everybody in here does too as well. Why am I saying that? Because simply putting things off and putting things on is something that we all do every single day. Amen. I'll give you another example. We all take every day, not all, but some of y'all in here like me, you take and every day you put something off. Amen. And then when it comes time to get up, you do what? You put something on. Amen. Maybe some of y'all take and do that when you go to read. Amen. You put them on and you put them off. There's lots of things like that. Maybe you ladies jewelry. Amen. You put some things on, you put some things off. Amen. We all take and put things on and put things off all throughout our day at different times, at different ways, and night and day we take and we do this. But I thought it myself, I'm thankful this morning that nobody is here in their PJs. Amen. Although some churches do that, and I'll leave that alone and bless their heart. But anyway, that I'm thankful this morning that y'all all put on the clothes that you put on this morning. Amen. Everybody's dressed nice and good, and everybody looks as handsome and as pretty as they can. Amen. That's what I try to do, and it don't ain't as successful some days as others. Amen. You have the bad hair days and all those things. But you think about, we put things off, put things on every day throughout our day. I think especially of me right now, and you right now, probably to some degree. But I think especially of me right now, and Lynn, I know Lynn's in this boat with me, and Karen's in this boat with me at least. I have to take and do this every day. When I get out of the car, guess what I have to do?
Put mask on.
Put it on. You know what I do as soon as I get off that clock and get in my car? That's probably the first thing you do too, don't you? I put it off. I ain't supposed to be that close to you. I put it off. Amen. Thank you. I put it on and I put it off. Amen. And may I say, when I take and I go to eat lunch, I have to take it off too. Amen. But you put it on and you put it off. Amen. It's a part of life. Amen. And the mask is a perfect example. We put it on and we put it off. And when we get to put it off, we say, thank you, Jesus. Amen. We put it on, we say, thank you, Jesus. I guess I need to. Amen. But when we take it off, we really say thank you. But you think about, we put on and we put off all day long, throughout the day. It's what we do in our lives. May I say, in the physical life, it's what we do, but the life of a believer should be the same way. Amen. Sometimes in our lives, at different times and different stages of our Christian life, if you will, our Christian walk with the Lord, there's some things that we need to put on. Amen. And at certain times, there's things that we need to put off. Amen. And a lot of times, as we grow in the Lord, there's things that we realize, hey, you know what? This needs to be put out of my life. Amen. I need to put this off. Maybe it's something that's a sin. Maybe it's something that's hindering us from doing what God wants us to do. Maybe it's a distraction, if you will, in our lives. Maybe it's not necessarily anything wrong, but it's something that's consuming our time in the wrong way. And we need to take and put those things off to the side so that we might have more time to put on what God wants us to do and put our hearts and minds and focus on that. So putting on and putting off is something spiritually, if you will, that's important today as well. And we've seen that through all these three passages of Scripture and other Scriptures, no doubt, that we could look at as well. And so this morning, Lord willing, we're going to try to get four done. Four of these put off and put on, if you will, things from Scripture. And we're going to talk about some of these over the next few weeks. The first thing is found in 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4, if you'll turn with me there, we'll see the first thing that I believe we need to put off and then put on. Amen. 1 John chapter number 4. 1 John chapter number 4. In 1 John 4, we'll begin reading here at verse number 7. 1 John 4, 7. Beloved, talking to the believers, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Notice verse 8. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is what? Love." Amen. By the way, verse 16 tells us the same thing. And in a sense, it says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." Here's the same phrase again. God is love. "And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." Amen. In other words, there's a lot of verses around that. As I mentioned, these other scriptures, we're going to use a lot this morning that we could read and use to help tie in even more. But the simple fact is this morning that the first thing that we need to put off is a lack of love. Amen. We need to put off a lack of love, or if you want to say no love, either way, we need to put it off. Amen. It's time as God's people that we take, and that we as the beloved, we need to put off a lack of love. Amen. We need to put it off. I've heard it said many times, and it's very, very true, that we should not hate anyone. Amen. We should not hate anyone. There may be some people that, if you will, that you know, we enjoy being around, let's put it that way, more than other people, amen, because of like interest, or like for us, like faith, amen, those types of things. But we should not hate, if you will, anyone. And we are, as God's children, we're told here in verse 8, "He that loveth not knoweth not God," because God's love. Amen. And so a person that walks around all the time that's hateful, that's mean, that just runs down everybody and everything, I'm not saying they're not saved, but I'll say this, I would have a big question mark about that. Because the fact of the Bible says today, the person that doesn't love knoweth not God. Because that's who God is. That's His essence. That's His character. That is who He is. That's the definition of God. That's part of His description, if you will, of who and what God is, that He is love this morning. And if a person has a lack of love, then I would ask the question, are they really a believer? They're definitely not a Christian, amen, because Christian means Christ-like, right? Sometimes we get Christian and a believer confused the way we say them. But anyway, I'll leave that alone. But a believer, amen, is a person that will have love. And so you think about, we need to put off a lack of love in our lives. But notice verse number 20, although you can tell what the opposite of this is that we need to put on from the verses we've already read. But verse 20, it says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also." So in other words, simply the first thing this morning, we need to put off a lack of love or no love, and we need to put on the love of our Lord. Amen. We need to put off the lack of love, but put on the love of our Lord. Amen. Put on the love of Christ, if you will, in our hearts and in our lives. We're to love others just like Christ loved others. Amen. That's what the Bible tells us, to sum it up in a nutshell. The same way that Christ loved people and treated people, that's the same way we're supposed to love and treat people. Amen. We're supposed to take and treat them the same way. Many times, there's many things, we all can agree on this, I hope today. There's many things that we need out in this world today. There's many, many, many things that are needed. Amen. And boy, we could start a list and keep going for eternity probably. But there's many things that people need in this world today. And I believe near the top of that list is love. Amen. We need love. We need people to get the lack of love to be put off, and we need the love of Christ to be put on. Amen. We need that today in the day and time that we live in. We need more people to share and to show the love of Christ. Amen. We need people to share and show the love of Christ in our daily lives. That's what we need to put on. We put it on, we'll share it, and we'll show it. But so many today show a lack of love for other people. Amen. Let's just be honest. So many show a lack of love for other people. We might say we love, but we don't really love. because it proves out different in our actions, in our attitude, in the way we respond to them, if you will. You think about today, there's a lack of love in our world. Outside of the church house, there's a lot of lack of love. Turn on the news and I'll just leave it at that. Amen? And we'll go on. There's a lot of lack of love outside the church house, but you know what? Let's just be honest. There's a lot of lack of love inside a lot of church houses too. There's a lot of lack of love inside a lot of church houses. You say, what do you mean? I'm not talking to this person on this side. I'm not talking to that person on that side. Little cliques, little groups, right? All that type of stuff that go on and talking bad about people behind people's backs. And I'm not saying anybody's doing that in here this morning. As far as I know, everybody's fine and good and dandy. Amen. And all those types of things. But I'm just saying we need to be careful and make sure that we don't have a lack of love for one another. Amen. But instead that we love each other like Christ loves each other. Like Christ loved us. Amen. And like Christ loves the world. But there's a lack of love all around this world today. Instead, what we have instead of love, that lack of love, what we have instead, we have a lot of hate. We have a lot of racism. We have a lot of prejudice. We have a lot of pride. We have a lot of anger. We have a lot of jealousy. By the way, I think pride, anger, and jealousy is why we have a lot of the other things that I named at the beginning. But I'll leave that alone. I think that's what's brought a lot of the racism and the prejudice and the hate is pride, anger, and jealousy. I think's a lot of it, but again, we'll leave that alone. But I'm simply saying today that we need to take and have and show the love of Christ. Bottom line, amen? We need to have and show the love of Christ in this world today. We need to put off the lack of love and put on the Lord's love. You know, I think about this many times. I've got kids that are still younger. Some of y'all had kids that were younger. Amen. But I think about this. The children's songs, I'm come to convince, the children's songs that we teach our kids is the best songs. Amen. They're the best songs. You say, what do you mean? Because I've thought about this song all this week. All this week. If I was to respond to all the stuff that went on, you know what I would say for this week? I would sing a little kid's song. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world and the big. Amen? God loves everybody. Everybody, folks. Amen? God loves everybody. He loves me. He loves you. No matter how much money we got, what class we are, any of those other things, what country we're from, it doesn't matter. God loves everybody the same. Amen? He loves us all the same. And He'll always love us all the same. He don't have picks. God don't have favorites. Amen? God don't take and say, well, this person's done more for me, and this person hadn't done nothing, so I love this person more. No, God don't operate like that. We do a lot of times as human beings. Amen? Sometimes we shouldn't, but we have children that we love or show more favoritism to or treat differently than the other ones, and we know that's not right. And sometimes brothers and sisters, well, I like this brother and I don't like that sister as much or whatever, all that type of stuff, right? We have things like that. But I'm simply saying today that we ought to love everybody like the Lord does. I thought about this phrase has always spoke to my heart in the Bible. And it spoke to my heart especially this week. There's a lot of craziness that's been going on this week and a lot of bad stuff that's been going on. And I'll just leave it at that. But I thought about this. One of the phrases that's always touched my heart that Jesus, that the Bible says many times about the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked here on this earth. And I've told y'all this many times before. But it come back to my heart and mind this week. The Bible says, and He was moved with compassion. And seeing the multitudes, it says He was moved with compassion. He saw them as sheep having no shepherd, scattered about, not knowing what they were doing, crazy stuff, whatever, lost without the Lord. He saw them. What did Jesus do? Did He get mad? Did He get angry? No, He was moved with what? Compassion. When He saw the people in need, saw the people sick, saw the people hurting, saw all these things going on, He was moved with compassion. He saw the lost multitudes this way. And may I say today, may the Lord help me to see the lost people that way too that's going around in our world. May the Lord help us to see them as we ought to see them and be moved with compassion. To see them through the eyes of Christ. As you know what, as that old song says, every day we pass them by. I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with cares, hidden who knows where. On they go through private pains, facing fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. You know what the chorus says? People need the Lord. People need the Lord. Every day. You think about today, we need to be moved with compassion and realize as we see these scenes unfolding in front of us in this world. There's one way to sum it up. People need the Lord. Amen? People need the Lord Jesus Christ. People need God in their lives today, folks. People need Him. We need Him. And we need, as believers, to not have a lack of love, but we need to have Christ's love. We need to put off our lack of love, put off the no love, and put on the love that Christ had, if you will, in our hearts and in our lives. But